Lynn Fraser's going to help your finances get into shape. Financial Fitness with Lynn Fraser on Family Radio CHRI.
Good morning and welcome to the Financial Fitness Show with Lynn Fraser. And this morning I am back in the studio with David Van Noppen. Welcome back, David.
Good morning, Lynn.
Last week, David, you and I started a conversation about, well, it's not a new conversation for us. It's an age-old conversation for us, but we did a review of the steps to financial freedom. And so we want to carry on that conversation today and spend a little more time talking about some of the individual steps. Mm-hmm. Last week, we talked about, we started with what's your big why, mm-hmm. really knowing mm-hmm. what's your motivator and moving forward. The second step is in giving. And today we're going to talk about financial awareness creates empowerment, learning mm-hmm. to face our current reality. And I would say that's one of the most logical steps for folks. Mm-hmm. Yet it's probably one of the more difficult ones.
Yeah, we often talk about the steps themselves seem simple. You know, we can rhyme them off in about 10 seconds, but they're simple but difficult to implement. And then that's simply because there are one of the elements, shall we say, to that is that there's so much pressure that's anti, and today we're talking about financial awareness creates empowerment. We use the acronym FACE, right? So we need to face our finances. But, that so much of our culture is trying to disconnect us from our finances. And so, you know, there's all these techniques and tools that come into play that allow us to kind of not face the finances.
So we want to hear from you this morning at 613-247-1886. We want to hear from you. Where have you made a difference? What has made a difference in your life in terms of tracking and facing your reality? And where is it continuing to make a difference? Mm-hmm. You know, that tracking word. People don't love the tracking word because it takes discipline, it takes practice. So let's spend a little bit of time mm-hmm. then. Face financial awareness creates empowerment.
Right.
So,
one of these things, I'm going to jump in there, Lynn. I was listening to a book on tape that we listened to, and, they made a comment. It was in a different context, but financial awareness creates empowerment. You and I can sit here and talk about that and, you know, espouse the benefits of that, but that is one of these concepts that until you've actually experienced how being financially aware helps you to create a plan and take stress away and allows you to see where your money's going so that you have, until you experience it, it's kind of one of those, I don't get it until I experience it. And that's one of the challenges with this whole concept of FACES is you just have to dig in until you get it. And doesn't matter the tool, doesn't matter the mechanism, because there's lots of great tools, there's lots of mechanisms, but digging in until you and your spouse get that idea that, hey, when I know where the money is, when it's hitting the bank account, when it's coming in, and where it's going, and creating some mechanisms that you and your spouse are able to understand, it is an experiential thing that needs to happen. It's not just theological or theoretical, right?
And, it does bring fear, right? Mm-hmm. People are afraid of it. And people are afraid of facing the reality, I think, in many cases, because they're afraid of what they're going to see. Mm-hmm. And they're afraid that it means that they're going to have to change something. And that's true. Mm-hmm. Often what we find is that something needs to change. But the truth is it brings freedom.
Mm-hmm. And often the changes, as we see that every day, the changes, money leaks out in 5, 10s, even 20s now. It's pretty tough to keep the 20s in there. And that's on stuff that does not bring value to our life. It does not add a single thing really to our life. And yet the money's leaking out there. And so often our changes are things that, really is about capturing the realizing the unimportant things and saying, that's not really important to my big why. That's not going to help me with my big why. So now I'm going to change my financial decisions to really have those decisions move me into what is my big why, which we talked about last
week. It's empowerment. Mm-hmm. It's empowerment. It's empowerment to live a life that matters. It's empowerment to live a life in freedom. It's empowerment to live a joy of a life of peace. Mm-hmm. It's empowerment to live as we're called to live. Like, it's awesome. Yeah. The phone number here is 613-247-1886. We'd love to hear from you as to where you have made a change and started tracking how it's impacted your life. So let's talk about the process of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's really necessary for us now to track differently. Really, we live in a world where everything is electronic and it's hidden mm-hmm. and it's not visual. Mm-hmm. And it's automated and so we lose track. Grandma would have had envelopes. Mm-hmm. When the pay came in, she would have divided it up in the different envelopes. There would have been some for groceries and some for heat and some for hydro. And there would have been a rainy day fund. And mm-hmm. she'd divide the money up into the different envelopes. And when it was really easy for her to know what was spent or what needed to be spent because and when the envelope was empty, there was no more.
Very tactile, right? She got paid in cash, probably, right? You know, and again, you know, a lot of the mechanisms that are what are normal in our culture right now, automatic deposit, automatic withdrawal, you know, all of these things for convenience sake, and there's nothing wrong with the convenience, but it does disconnect us from grandma's money, from grandma's envelopes. It disconnects us from those things.
And grandma never taught us how to deal with the money because grandma knew, but she didn't tell anyone else because we didn't talk about money. We didn't talk about money, religion, or sex.
Yeah. We're just covering one of those topics today,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so. Yeah, there's a few we'll leave alone for now. So the importance of knowing where it's going is... There's no real easy way. It's you just need to do it.
And I challenge often in the coaching, especially at the beginning when we're trying to catch a really get control again. I challenge people, say, we're going to make this inconvenient for you. You know, I want you to pull the money out in cash as much as you can to do the envelope. If that's what needs to happen to bring, again, to bring you back to the tactile, this is what $100 looks like. This is what $1,000 looks like. And how do we spend that? And how do we divvy that out? Because even doing it on a spreadsheet, even doing it electronically, we're still not fully connected to it. So reconnecting, financial awareness creates empowerment, really is about figuring out how we connect to the income and how you're going to connect to the expenses. And what that, you know, means for each individual couple or each individual person, really, there's just personality things. It's not the same for everybody, but it's really not that difficult. And I'll just say to the listeners, you know, if you're having trouble with I don't know where the money's going, take your paycheck, cash it in, take the cash out, divvy it out, start paying things, you know, manually, get rid of all your your automatics for a while, for a time, until you become connected to, okay, I have to pay each of these bills individually now. I'm not going to automate it. I'm just going to shut that off because I want to actually move that money. And that, again, that maybe is inconvenient, takes more work, will take more time, but it will allow you to become connected back into it.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. There's an email question and it really leads into the next part of this. So it says, I am the one who manages finances at home and I know where the money is going, but my spouse does not. How do we create financial awareness as a couple? And really, that's a big piece mm-hmm. of how you create that financial awareness. So mm-hmm. What we're going to suggest you do is start tracking everything that you spend. Get a receipt everywhere mm-hmm. you go. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a Tim Hortons drive-thru, it doesn't matter. If it's mm-hmm. a dollar item or a $3 item, get a receipt anyway. Mm-hmm. And then once a week, you sit down with your spouse and you have a financial date. Mm-hmm. And Dave, I know you and Reb have been doing that successfully, mm-hmm. which is a key point, mm-hmm. for quite a few years now. So talk to me a little bit about that piece. How do you keep that financial awareness as a couple, and what does that mean?
You know, part of that is it's just right now, at the beginning, when we first initiated our date, we had to set some rules and some guidelines, and we had to say, what does this date look like? And one of the rules was it's not about what happened last week or even yesterday.
Where one of you made a mistake or
yeah,
wasted money,
you know,
or
the discussion does not revolve around history. It revolves on where are we at today? How much money do we have? And when's our next pay? And what do we need to pay for between now and the next pay? And always planning what we spend, always looking forward, because the reality is we learned awful quick. A lot of the discussion was around stuff we couldn't change because we'd already spent the money. We'd already made those decisions. So it was, in essence, a discussion that had absolutely no end but division between Rebecca and I, because if I didn't like the way she spent something, well, guess what? It's done. It's over with. It's gone. So we had to set some rules and some guidelines. And that was one of the big ones, is we're going to create a plan and we're going to plan what we plan. So we had to always be looking forward, never looking backwards, always planning ahead. And those plans forwards were course corrections for mistakes we made last week or last month. And we both made plenty of them. So.
Well, and it worked, right?
For
right?
Sure.
To look, continually look ahead. Because there's no, you can't, yeah, you're right. Now, there's no point in getting stuck in the mud. That was a combination of those two words. So how did
And the other thing that we did is the consistency. We decided that every week we needed a financial date. We have five kids. We've got, you know, it's a busy thing. We got busy stuff going on. There's money coming in. There's bills getting paid. And we just, we needed every week. And starting that discipline every week really did transform those two things, planning ahead and doing it every week consistently. And, you know, our financial dates consist now of about a half an hour, less than a half an hour. We have a discussion, we know where we're going, and we move forward. We face our finances every week, and it's those small little course corrections. It doesn't take us long to see that we're off course, but we're not very far off course. And so we can very quickly make the adjustments we need to make to get back on course, because we're doing it every week. And those two things are key and just vital behaviors that we put into our finances that have really helped.
Yeah, by making it weekly, making it consistent, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really great, I think, to determine a day that's going to work for us all the time, and a time that for the most part is always going to work, and being consistent with it. That way there's no you don't have to schedule around it. It's a firm date that's set.
And we have a backup, right? Because life happens, right? Take this weekend, for example, Rebecca's gone. And so our financial date is usually Saturday mornings. That's kind of when we try to do it. And then our backup is Sunday, just around dinner time. Why? Well, because if we don't get it done by the end of Sunday, it's not going to be done, because the week is so full. And so we say, okay, let's, number one is Saturday mornings. And that's typically a good time for us, because we can get up a little early, the kids aren't awake, and you know, we can have our coffee and talk about it, and so we have a backup for life. She's gone, she won't be back till Sunday night this weekend, and so we'll have it when she gets back. Maybe we might actually push it to a night next week if we have to, right? You
sure.
know, and that's okay, but we do make it a priority.
So. Well, and because if it's not a priority, it won't get done, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I think one of the challenges that people deal with frequently is that their lives are too busy, or they believe they're too busy to deal with their finances. And because it's so easy to let the financial institutions just take care of everything for us, we tend not to make it a priority.
Yeah, and you know, there's lots of good stuff in life to do, right? I mean, there's just tons of fun things, and you know, things that are spontaneous that come into our life, and this is just one of those disciplines that, in whether you're single, I mean obviously I'm talking about Rebecca and I, but even as a single person, set it in your calendar, do it at the same time every week. It takes even less time when you're single, because you kind of know what's going on, right?
That's it.
But the key there is to plan what you spend and then spend what you plan. Don't beat yourself up over the things that you did last week or last month, because even that you will do to yourself. But to say, okay, where am I at today and what am I doing to move forward to get me to my big why?
So the phone number here is 613-247-1886. We'd love to hear from you this morning as to what has made a difference in your reality. So back to the planning process. So first of all, you gather all your receipts and you get together with your spouse and you categorize those and track them so you can plan the upcoming weeks. So you're creating a spending plan.
Right.
It's not that B word. Yeah, we don't like that budget word, but right. So you create a spending plan that you're going to follow.
Yes.
And there's a commitment to follow it. And then what?
Well, as you're tracking, right, I mean, we create the plan that our plans go for 8 weeks, right? So we create a plan, and every 8 weeks, we create a new plan, because in our life, and we've found consistently, even in the coaching that we do, that, you know, you can really plan quite well 2 months out. You know what's going to happen from now for the next 2 months.
You know the birthday parties that the kids are going to go to generally.
Pretty
you've
good.
Got weddings. You've got summer vacation. You've got Christmas sometimes, you know.
So you know what's coming up in the next 2 months. And Christmas, by the way, does come at the same time every year.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. It's not an emergency.
But right now, we know September's coming, right? So we've got a month till September. September is one of the most expensive times in most families. It's back to school, a bunch of things start up, a lot of cash leaves. Well, we need to create in our plan that this stuff is going to happen. So either we're buying some stuff a little bit ahead in preparation for September, or we're creating in our plan and saying, you know what, for back to school stuff, we need to have the cash flow. We need to have an extra $500 that we normally would have allocated somewhere else. It's now going to go into school prep. And we move that money around. So we create the plan, and then the weekly financial dates keeps us aware of how we're doing in the plan. And we do that every week. It's, like I said, it's a half an hour. It's 10 to 15 transactions that we just input that we're seeing into the plan to say, okay, these are the 15 transactions, the receipts that I have, you know, the money that I've spent in the last week. We input them into the plan, and we say, this now creates a baseline for where we're at today, and let's move forward.
You know, there's an important key in that. You're thinking ahead and you're putting money aside for the things that are coming up. And if you have debt, this is part of part of your spending plan, is creating some room in that spending plan that's going to allow you to accelerate the pay down of your debt.
Yep.
After the emergency fund is built, but the emergency fund is a conversation for another time. Today, we're just talking about making enough room in your spending plan for those important items. And that means allowing for the unseen or the unexpected, right? The more planned we are, the more, as we become more practiced at this process, David, I know that it becomes easier to, we have less emergencies.
And great point. It is practice. You know, that, again, there's a huge pressure on us from the culture to not do this, to not, even some of the tools that I've looked at give you the kind of a form making you think that you're in control, but you really doesn't really help. All you are is just a little more confused. So again, you have to sit down. It does take some work, especially initially, to create a plan. Keeping it simple, absolutely. As we said at the beginning, cash in your paycheck. Get the cash in your hand and then start divvying it out, or, you know, as much as you can. Obviously, there's some things you're gonna do electronically, but to really create that tactile, now I feel like I know where the money is, where it's going, and then just being able to communicate that to yourself or as a couple.
And the communication piece is can be interesting because in most couples, there is a spender and a saver.
Yep.
We're different. We're wired different. We're created different. That's on purpose, right? If we're both the same, one's unnecessary. He created us to think differently and behave differently. And we come into a relationship having different beliefs and different experience about money. So that communication piece is critical to getting on the same page, creating a plan and following a plan. And if he can't, if you don't have that time where you come onto the same page, you're going to sabotage the plan.
Mm-hmm. And you know, again, the difference is there are people that are not planners. You know, there are people that, you know, look at a spreadsheet and their eyes go a little buggy and they, okay, you know, there are so many tools. There are so many tools that you can use that will help that. And that's why we kind of always say, let's begin with an envelope system, because I don't think I've met a person yet who did not understand the envelope system in the tactile way. I take out the cash, I've got 4, 5, 6 envelopes, I put money into the envelopes, I spend the money out of the envelopes.
When it's empty,
I don't spend any more. Like I said, I haven't met somebody that didn't understand that. Whether they wanted to use it or implement it is a whole different discussion, but they understood that. They became connected to where the money was going.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a forever thing. It's really to gain that connection.
Right.
And so cash really is a good way to do that initially.
To be able to connect you to your money, I don't know if there's a conspiracy, and if there's conspiracy theorists out there, they may say, yeah, there's a conspiracy to disconnect us so that we all stay in debt as much. Maybe not. But
maybe. I think it's worked, whether it was forethought or not. It certainly worked because payday loans and overdraft are hugely expensive, mm-hmm. and they're huge costs, and they're the place that people go when they really don't know and they're out of cash.
Right. And so, you know, just stepping back and saying, okay, let's make this a priority. Let's do some simple things, you know. Financial awareness creates empowerment. Let's do some tracking. Let's figure out a tool that's going to help us. The tool has to help you. If the tool confuses you, get rid of the tool and find another tool.
If it works for one and doesn't work for the other, get rid of it now.
You know, or muscle through and say, you know what, we're going to put the time and the effort and the energy for a short period of time to understand the tool. And I often say a lot of these tools are like, you know, a complicated machine, like a chainsaw, where, you know, if you know how to use it, it can do an astounding amount of work in a day. If you don't know how to use it, you spend your entire day, banging the thing against the tree and don't get anything done, right? So take the time to learn how to use it and how to use it properly in the way it's designed. And most tools will work. But again, keep it simple. If you're using a tool, keep it simple, because there's so many complicated ones out there that just add way too much convenience, but complication along with that.
So you're going to start today.
Yeah.
Start getting your receipts everywhere you go.
Easy. Tracking.
Simple. Yeah. And then once a week. If you wait for 2 weeks, it's going to become more difficult. Make mm-hmm. it a weekly thing, because mm-hmm. the more difficult it is, the more you're going to avoid it, the more overwhelmed you're going to become. So just do it weekly. And it'll get better, it'll get easier, and it becomes a great tool for creating your spending plan.
And one of the great tools that is a pencil and a piece of graph paper, right? You know, yeah. in a sense of saying, you know what, I've got my receipts, I put them in an envelope. When I get home from the, you know, work at the end of the day, I empty my wallet of the receipts, they go into an envelope, and then once a week, we sit down and we get a pencil and a piece of paper and we write out, okay, these are the expenses we spent this week. Now, how much money do we have in the bank? What do we have to spend next week? And you write that out and you just say, okay, next week we're going to spend $500. I can go to the bank, get the $500, put it in the different places where we're going to go, spend the envelope. Financial date's done, right? Yeah. So, you know, that simple. It does not have to be complicated.
So once you know where it's going, once you've faced your reality, mm-hmm. then you can create a spending plan. If mm-hmm. you try to do the spending plan without knowing where your money's going now, it's going to fail. It hasn't worked before. It's not going to work now. You cannot create a spending plan without knowing what your current reality is.
For sure. Right. And we haven't talked too much about that, but in the creating of the spending plan, make sure you prioritize that the things that are really important are, you know, top of the list, you know, rent or mortgage, heat, hydro, you know, and include your debt acceleration payment. You know, you're going to pay the minimums, and we'll talk about some debt strategy, but you want to also, you know, create that margin we talked about, the money we move around when life happens, to fill up the emergency cushion or to pay down the debt. You know, we want to make sure that those are prioritized.
Now, if you've listened to this entire show and you say, okay, I know now that I need to do something, but I'm not really sure how that works.
Or I'm really confused.
That's okay. You're like 99% of the population. It's not an easy thing to make that kind of change. So there are financial fitness workshops that we do once a month. And we want to encourage you to come. It's done as a community service. There is no fee. The come as a couple. They're done the third Thursday of every month. I think in the month of August, it's the 28th of August. Fourth Thursday of every month. Sorry. Thank you, David. It's the fourth Thursday of every month, and it's the 28th of August next month. It's done in the evening, and we'd love to have you. It's 2 hours well spent. So come and learn.
Go to the website, morethanenough.ca. The information's there. There's a, you know, there's a calendar there with all of the workshops that we have.
Yeah, register, but for sure. And then come. So next week, we'll be talking again about creating the spending plan and then following through.
Okay.
So listen in. So we want to.
I'm probably the only one getting excited about that. But anyways,
our time is up. So I'd like to take, as our tradition is to close in prayer. So let's do that. So Father, we just thank you that you are at work and there are people listening that you are tapping on the shoulder right now saying, listen, I have a plan for you. Come. And so, Lord, would you draw them closer to you? Would you give them the wisdom, the discernment, and the courage to take the steps to move closer to you and closer to freedom? Because, Lord, we know that you always have good plans for your children. Mm-hmm. And so we just thank you for what you're going to do, and we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The phone number at our office is 613-520-4157. If you have any questions for us, look us up at morethanenough.ca. And everything that you could possibly want to know is all there. It's all there and more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. So, David, thank you for being here again. And don't forget to register for the Financial Fitness Show. And we'll look forward to seeing you soon and spending time again with you next week. And have an amazing day, filled with hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. God bless.